Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. During our last four broadcasts, Dr. Jennings has outlined God's ideal and plan for human sexuality and how the devil has done a pretty good job of messing it all up. On today's program, the good doctor tackles some of the questions he has received from teenagers on this subject. Get ready to see how biblical truth and science combine to reveal what actually takes place when sex enters the human experience. As I've mentioned before, this presentation series is intended for mature audiences. That said, let's listen.
Question: why does God allow something as special as sex to be a sinful temptation outside of marriage? If God wanted one man to marry one woman, and that would be the perfect union, then why did Solomon, David, and many other holy people have many, many wives or concubines? How would you answer the question? Are these questions about sex? No, these questions are not about sex. These questions are about freedom, autonomy, liberty, and the universe in which love exists. God is love, and love requires freedom. Genuine love cannot exist in an atmosphere without freedom. Those in a relationship, try that. Go home and begin telling your spouse where they can go, what they can do, who they can call on the phone, what clothes they're allowed to wear, how much money they're allowed to spend, and see what happens to love in that relationship. Love can't exist without freedom. God is love. We have real freedom. And so, when God gives gifts to his people, to his creatures, he leaves us free to use them. Did God give Samson strength? Did God control how Samson used it? No. Did God give Solomon wisdom? Yes, but he didn't control how he used it. And did God give humanity sexuality? Yes, but he doesn't control how he uses it. So these questions are about understanding God's universe. Whatever gifts he gives us, he leaves us free. So this is about freedom, because love is real in God's universe. Sex is so distorted, how did it get that way? Well, we lost the knowledge of God, his design, his methods, resulting in either hedonism or puritanism. Hedonism: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We're no better than the animals. Go out and have as much fun as you can before you die on this earth. Hedonism. Puritanism: sex is dirty and evil. You should never have it except to procreate, and never again. These are both lies, because we lost the knowledge of God, and we lost his design. What is the truth? Sex is sacred and beautiful. That is the truth. Have we not seen some beauty in God's design? The union, the bonding that takes place? By the way, many of you that aren't physicians may not know, but do you know the bone right here in this part of your body? It's the sacrum. It means sacred. Just think about that. Why shouldn't we have sex? How would you answer this question? You should have sex, and lots of it, but only with your marriage partner. Only with your spouse. Premarital sex damages mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's why you shouldn't have premarital sex. Sexual active adolescents perform more poorly in school, engage in a host of risk-taking behaviors, including substance use and delinquency, and are half as likely to have stable marriages compared to teens who are not sexually active. So if you're a teen and you want a stable marriage, you can double the likelihood of a stable marriage by maintaining your abstinence. Double your likelihood. Will there be sex in heaven? This has not been revealed, so each person is free to hope yes or no. And I won't ask which way you're hoping. If sex is a mean of pleasure as well as reproduction, why promote abstinence when sex often changes the marriage? Premarital sex would help affirm a commitment, causing a more stable relationship, would it not? Kind of like test driving a car. How would you answer? Sex is not a means of pleasure. It's a means of unity, bonding, self-giving, self-surrender, self-exposure, and reproduction, which God designed to be pleasurable. You see the problem in the question. Premarital sex causes all the biological changes already outlined, plus it increases anxiety, guilt, deception, which damages prefrontal cortex, causes more activation of the fear circuits, with subsequent increase in risk of depression, physical health problems, and damage to character. So it's probably not a good idea. Is safe sex okay at a young age? Using condoms does not prevent all the brain changes which occur during sex. Using condoms does not prevent guilt, fear, anxiety, deception to parents and peers. Condoms are not 100% effective. So the answer would be no. It's not safe. Is it a sin to have sex before marriage? Is it biblically wrong to have sex before marriage? Is sex before marriage bad even if you marry the person you had sex with? Two people asked that question. What is sin? The Bible says sin is transgression of the law. What law? Law of love, which is the design template for life. We went through briefly the other-centered circle of giving that life is designed to operate upon. So why is something then sin? Because it deviates with the protocols for which life and health operate upon and can only result in ruin, pain, suffering, and death. So then the question, is something sin because God says not to do it? Or does God say not to do it because it's sin? God says not to do it because it is harmful. Why does a parent say, don't play in the street? Is it bad to play in the street because the parents say don't do it? Or is it bad to play in the street because you could get hit by a car? It's dangerous out there. And that's why the parents said not to do it. What does sex before marriage do to you? This is the question for these. What does sex before marriage do to you? It changes you neurologically, neurobiologically. It alters your ability to have good judgment. And so, in the last question about, is sex before marriage bad even if you marry the person you had sex with? Marriage doesn't change your history. It doesn't change all the stuff you did before marriage. So if you've already gone through a lot of guilt, practicing deception, lying to people, you have damaged yourself. That doesn't undo it. And you may not have married them if you didn't have sex with them. Because once you have sex, you're more neurologically bonded. That person can cause you to feel better than any other person. You're more attached. You have that airbrushing of your memory. Your discernment goes down. You might not have married this person if you hadn't had sex with them. What are the benefits of sex before marriage? None. None. But many harmful consequences. I couldn't think of a benefit of sex before marriage. What's your idea of the safest lines teens should draw in showing physical affection? Any volunteered answers? No. Problem with the question. Bad question. See, this question is about how much can I get away with? How far can I go seeking to gratify self? We need to have better questions. And so we ask the question to the teens, how can I protect my partner's sexuality and help them become all God wants them to be? Better question. Or how about this one? How can I value, celebrate, and protect the other person who might be someone else's Adam and Eve one day? And if you're not sure about that, those questions aren't resonating in your mind, teens. Think about this question. Where would you draw the line for your sister, mother, or brother? Your dad died. Your mom's a widow. She's out dating. Where do you want her to draw that line? Ew. Yeah, that's where that line goes, doesn't it? Treat your partner with love, seeking to protect their integrity, honor, virtue, reputation, and health. That's where you draw the line. Any line which damages you or the other person should not be crossed. That's where you draw the line. Sex, is it as worth it before marriage as it's made out to be? I don't know who asked this question, but I'll let you answer it. After all the science and evidence, what do you think? Is it worth it? If you plan on marrying someone after being with them for a very long time, is it sinful to have sex? And is God angry with us even though you love that person beyond description? And if you pray together and love God, then how is it wrong? I have a patient who prays every day for healthy lungs but smokes a pack of cigarettes a day. How could it be wrong to smoke if she prays? You see a problem with the question. I'm not angry at my patient for smoking, but is my anger the problem? Well, will my doctor be angry at me if I smoke? Will God be angry at me if I do? But prayer doesn't void your choice or change God's laws. It doesn't change the laws of physics, the laws of neurobiology that we all went through. You may pray, but that's not going to change what's happening. The only thing changes what's happening is your free will choices. Choices change what happens to you. If you love the person, you would seek their best interest to protect their sexuality, integrity, and virtue. This question, if we really love each other, if you really love them, you want to do what's best for them, not what makes you feel good. We don't know the future or our plans, and our plans don't always work out, so your plan to marry isn't the same thing as being married. Is it? No. Does sex hurt? Four people ask this question. Not as God designed. But it can if there's illness, physical defects, high anxiety, or it's done aggressively, violently, or carelessly. What is adultery? Any volunteers to answer this? Betrayal. Adultery is betrayal. That's what it is. The giving of one's heart, mind, soul, oneself to another. The failure to sacrifice self for one's spouse. This is what adultery is. If you're confused about that, just think of what God called the people in the Old Testament repeatedly. What did he call them? An adulterous nation. An adulterous people. Think about Matthew 5. You say if you commit adultery, and I say if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's a heart issue primarily. But it can include physical sex, but it doesn't have to. Are you still a virgin if you've had an orgasm? Are you considered a virgin if you've had sex other than vaginal sex? Why do people think oral sex takes your virginity? Okay, I'm about to show you a picture of the most important sexual organ in your body. You never really generally see this in public. This is the most important sexual organ of your body. It's your brain. All the neurobiologic stuff happens there. All the relational bonding stuff happens there. All the pleasure happens there. The brain is the most important sexual organ. Man's perspective on questions like virginity focuses on the body. God's perspective focuses on the heart. What's happening in your heart, in your brain. Lust, remember the Matthew 5 text. God is concerned about the heart, the character. So we have to take the focus off the body and back onto the heart to answer these questions. So what happens in the heart if somebody has a nocturnal emission? If somebody is sexually abused or raped? See, man and legalistic man would say if somebody is abused or raped, they've lost their virginity. God would say they're still pure of heart. They haven't given themselves. They have not violated themselves. Isn't that true? It's not about the body primarily. It's about the heart primarily and what we choose to do with what the gifts God has given us. That's what virginity is all about, a pure heart. Remember, David said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew your right spirit within me. That's where it's at. Where does sex start? What line needs to be crossed for it to be classified as sex? Does sex start when the pants are unbuttoned or before that or after that? How far is too far for high school students? Is making out just as bad as having sex before marriage? Sex starts in the mind. Any thoughts which would harm you or another is already going too far. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? We're to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. And see, we again focus on behavior primarily, but the behavior isn't primarily the issue God is looking at. You may never cross a behavioral line, but your mind, think what you can do in your mind. So we don't focus on behavior only. We want to focus on what's happening in the heart and mind. We want our minds to change, our hearts to change. So where does making out lead your mind and then your behavior?
You've been listening to a live presentation on the subject of human sexuality that Dr. Jennings presented some years back to a packed audience of teenagers and their parents. So that was an interesting time, I'm sure, for the people that were involved in listening to this program. I invite you to join us next time. We're going to pick up right where we left off. More questions from teens on the subject, so you won't want to miss that. CommonReason.com is the website. If you want to listen and share these programs with others, they're all there waiting for you at CommonReason.com. Lots of other resources there as well. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.